Father, we pray this morning in anticipation of the sunrise, and in anticipation, as it were, of you rising again. We know that you're already risen. We thank you and praise you for that, and we thank you, Lord, that we can know that in our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that as we lift our worship and praise to you this morning, we pray that as we move on from here, that we may anticipate your coming again. We thank you, Lord, for that great promise of yours, that you said that you are coming again. And we just think that's absolutely amazing, Lord, that you would do that for us. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, just bless us now as we worship you, and as we just lift our hearts in worship. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing. I'm going to pitch this. Can you pitch, please? When I see it, the word is lost.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and poor content on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. For the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns on post so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my whole.
Psalm 34, verse 15 says, "The eye of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry." And when God looks, he bestows blessing. And as I've been reading around this verse this week, I've picked up on several occasions in the New Testament when Jesus spoke to people, he looked at them first, but he looked, and then it doesn't say that he paused, but I think he probably did sort of look at them and then pause. And each time I think he knew the words that he wanted to say, but he was measuring his words. It just felt like very often those responses were sort of slow and deliberate and measured. And and a direct look and an eye-to-eye contact with somebody can convey so much understanding and honesty and sincerity and all those things, compassion and sorrow and pain. And in fact, we know that a look can convey a whole gamut of human emotion. And remembering probably the most well-known look in the scriptures was on that Good Friday, when Jesus was in front of Pilate and Peter was in the courtyard, and he had just denied that he knew Jesus 3 times, not just once, but 3 times. And as Jesus was led out, we read that he looked at him. That's all we read. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter, and then Peter remembered the words that had been spoken to him: before the cock crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And that look, I don't know what you think, but that look, to start with, I was thinking it probably conveyed sorrow, pain and hurt, maybe. But I think probably the overriding emotion there was of love, because Jesus had already told Peter that he was his rock on which he was going to build his church. He loved Peter, and I'm sure that was a look of love that he gave him. And Tim is just going to read to us from John 21 that very poignant conversation where Jesus looked at Peter and asked him 3 times, do you love me?
Carrying on that theme of a look, just bear in mind that Jesus had given Peter a nickname, Rocky. And he now calls him by his original name. It's like my mum calling me Timothy. Just bear that in mind as I read this. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he says, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
On cue?
Yes.
So, against the background of that, such a profound event in humanity, in the whole of humanity, it's just a wonderful picture to me of reconciliation and forgiveness that Jesus had for Peter. And it was on a one-to-one. Yeah, we've got the global event going on of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, but this was on a distinctly personal level, Jesus to Peter. And I think that nothing at that point in time, nothing else mattered to them, to either of them. They were just eye to eye contact. And I think often of how I deserve a look of sorrow, pain or hurt from my Father in heaven, and when all I got was a look of content love. And I'm sure that we've all experienced that. So with that in mind, let's celebrate the ordinance that Jesus told us about. We're going to have communion. We do that as a celebration of his death and resurrection, of course, but we do it as a mark of declaration, well, to one another and to anybody else that happens to be out here seeing us, but that's a general declaration. And this is something that we're not going to have to do forever, of course. We do it until he comes again, and that's the great thing that we've got to look forward to, that Jesus, when he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he said, "I'm coming again." should have brought two plates, sorry. Yeah, just pass it around. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he said, every time you do this, every time you break bread, do this in remembrance of me. And as we pass the bread round, just say to one another, the body of Jesus broken for you. And then we read, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he blessed it and he said, this is my blood that is shed for you. Drink of this and be thankful. Let's turn to as a prayer in the sheet pen. Starts God our Father. Let's pray that together. God our Father,
by raising Christ your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. Let our celebration today raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
As the sun starts to peek above the clouds, we may yet see it. We're going to sing, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own.
Crown him the Lord of greater of the rolling spheres in ever bliss of mine. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity.
God. Let's just say those words from a very well-known song that we often sing. Saviour,
he can move the mountains.
My God,
God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, water of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, say together,
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
Amen.
She's nearly there.
Should we get John to bring the bacon up here?